Day 49 of Heidelberg Catechism. May we ask and answer, what is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the third petition is concerned with the will of God, and particularly with that will as it concerns us. We have seen that the first petition stresses the need to hallow God's name, to praise and glorify his name. With all the works, and with respect to all the works of his creation, of which we have been made a part. And then there is that second petition, closely connected to it as well, where we then pray for the universal recognition of God as the owner and ruler of the universe. It is clear then that the third petition is again very closely related to the first and second one. The hallowing of God's name, the coming of God's kingdom, they converge together in your will be done. How could we hallow God's name other than by strictly obeying his will? How could his kingdom come in our life without the denying of our own will, without doing the will of our heavenly King in word and in deed? So this petition we take on our lips so that we may find and obey our calling in the particular place in which God has placed us, and in the way in which he wants to lead us. Now, if only Adam, if only we mankind had paused to breathe this prayer in the garden, instead of denying himself in a constant, your will be done, it became my will be done. And that's how it has been, as you know, ever since. How different this world would have been without that denial of God in the beginning. Oh, it is true, man may, apart from the renewing grace of God, still perform deeds outwardly good. But such deeds are nevertheless geared to satisfy our own human will, to meet our own standards of judgment. Now, beloved of the Lord, the coming of Christ introduced a radical change. In him, the second Adam, for the first and only time since paradise, God's will was perfectly done on earth as it is in heaven. The word of the psalmist, I delight to do your will, O my God, reached their fulfillment in the life of Christ our Savior. Specifically in that prayer, which we find that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Yes, our Savior prayed this prayer in the hour of his greatest temptation, when his soul was filled with unspeakable agony. He knew what was to come. He is the only person that knew to a T exactly what was going to be done to him. So in the garden, the dark shadow of the cross already cast itself over him. He was, as he told his disciples, very sorrowful, even unto death. And at this hour, when he tasted the bitterness of that cup of suffering, which he had to drink in obedience to the Father, he cried out, not my will, but your will be done. Our Savior expressed his willingness to lay down his life for us, his sheep. He expressed his willingness to obtain those sheep in the way of justice, in the way of the cross, with all its horrors and sufferings. And that's why he prayed that he might be obedient to do the will of his Father, yeah, even to the bitter end. God's will was God's way. Doing his Father's will was his daily food, his daily bread. Indeed, beloved of the Lord, our Savior came to teach this petition. It was really something special. It certainly was not a cheap and easy line to him that Christ taught us here. It was rooted in his own unique experience, something that we should keep in mind as we take this prayer to heart. We are to obey God's will as it was obeyed by our Savior Jesus Christ, and as it is obeyed by the heavenly inhabitants, by the holy angels, and the perfected saints, those whom we know and those whom we do not know yet. This petition then teaches us to consider our whole life as a calling, as an office, also as a mandate. To consider ourselves as office bearers, as servants of the Lord God, the Lord Yahweh. For the will of God concerns our whole life, all our talk and walk. We have to show him, image him, for that is the office to which all of us have been called, to make God visible in our word and deeds. That to that end we also have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light, which lit up with the coming of Jesus Christ here on earth. And that is how we then are called to do his will, for we are called Christians. We follow Christ, and to that end we have to be children of light. Therefore, we must talk and walk as children of light. We belong with body and soul to our Savior, and therefore we ought to consecrate ourselves to him. Yeah, take my life and let it be, O Lord, consecrated unto thee. That is, let my life be of continuous service to thee, to you. Now, always and everywhere we are in the service of God. Our whole existence is an office. With body and soul, with heart and mind, in all relationships, in the family, in society, in the office, at the construction site, in church here, yeah, in church, state, and society, we are called to serve him. Keep him in mind with all our diseases, be they great or small. And we are to ask ourselves at every moment of the day then, what is good and what is acceptable in the sight of the Lord our God? What is your perfect will for our life of today? Now, beloved, only in that way our life will start to make sense again. Will then reach its intended goal. And to that end, then, we are to examine ourselves in the light of God's word every day anew, so that there may be a conscious living with the Lord God, that there may be with us a progressive, a growing fellowship with him. And with that underlying question, at all times, how can we please you? Where do we still lack? In what area of life do we not yet consciously serve you? Again, in this life, we can never be satisfied with the status quo. Because in this life, with our present nature, we must always pursue that goal of perfection, as we also confessed it in Lord's Day 44. And that counts for everybody. Not one is excluded from this daily self-examination. There must be a continuous reformation with us, with every member of the church, when it comes to obeying God's revealed will. It applies to the minister in his study, on the pulpit, to the elder in the oversight of the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the deacon in his work of mercy, and it applies also to the teachers and the students at school, to the office worker, to the housewife, to the father and mother, to those who have regular work and those who do not. We all, without exception, whether we are old or young, male or female, we all have to search out the will of God in our life so that we may carry out our office. And in that office, apply his will in our daily life, yeah, without any more ado, without any backtalk, Whatever our position is in our life, we must let it be governed by God's revealed will. So the prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," teaches us to look at all of life as a service. And yes, and this prayer is then also a confession that Father knows best. Yes, beloved, let us also not overlook that in our constant pursuit of the revealed will of our Father, we are surrounded by the sovereign will of God, His eternal decree. We should realize that our station, our calling, our way, and our circumstances are not all alike. They vary greatly, in fact. The one is rich, the other poor. The one is high, the other of low estate. The one is healthy, the other ailing. The one has received many talents and gifts from God, while the other has a few. Our positions in life differ. And then we ask, from where then this difference? This difference in talents and gifts, in station and in calling? And the answer is, as you know, from the Lord, our God, who covers our whole life according to His eternal purpose and good pleasure. And in that particular office and calling which He has assigned to us, we must work as His servants, must walk as His subjects in obedience to His good and perfect will. And so we see that there is a close relationship between the will of God's counsel and the will of His command, between His hidden and His revealed will, and that they are both included in this third petition of "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." For what then do we pray in this third petition? Well, first of all, we are taught to pray to the Father in heaven for His grace to accept our position in life as received out of His fatherly hand. Accept from Him the way He has ordained it for us. And in order that in that position and in that way we may function as His servants and do His will, as He has revealed it in His word from Genesis through Revelation. So, beloved, it is clear that we need grace. We need for that very much grace. Grace every day. So that we may come to the proper attitude in life. We are not at all inclined to deny our own will. So often we lead selfish lives instead of a life to the glory of God, to express our love to Him and then also love for our neighbor. We also are inclined to divide our life in certain categories. One for religious life, for church life, and also a secular, worldly life. In our religious life, we are able to discern our calling and office and consider ourselves as servants of God. But when it comes to our daily work, whether it may be then this calling and office becomes then rather vague. We don't know what to do with it. We do not think of ourselves as special servants of God then. All too often we consider our daily job as something outside of God's kingdom, outside His domain. Something that has little to do with the coming of His kingdom. We go about our business as if the Lord has nothing to do with it. As if the purpose of our business life is to make profits, is to accumulate wealth. We look at the work in the office, in the factory, construction site as a necessary evil. The housewife does her chores with nothing but sighs. And the teacher is all too happy when the day is over. We also tend to distinguish between a calling and a job. A minister of the gospel, well, he has a calling. But others have simply a job. That to work in the office, in a shop, or dig ditches, to collect garbage, to make tools, to build houses, to bear children, to rear and instruct them, and that whatever work we are involved in is part and parcel of our calling from God And that it is also an office is most unfortunately recognized by very few. And still, all of us should, in all that we do, learn to know that we are fulfilling an office as given from God. To that end, we have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. He has given us a new perspective in life. We have been delivered from the evil one, as we confess already with Lord's Day 1 of this catechism. We have been delivered from the slavery of sin, so that we with our whole life and all our relationships would serve our God. Serve him on and off the job, so to speak. For our whole life is one calling in his service. We have been appointed, as you know, prophet, priest, and king. A threefold office, for which also the special officers are called to prepare us, to sustain us, to help us to carry out that calling. And allow this divine calling in all that we may and must do in life. And daily we ask the Lord our God for his grace to carry out this our calling in keeping with his infallible word. To that end, we read the Bible every day. To that end, we pray for the blessing on what we read so that we also, by the power of his Spirit, will remember it. And pray that he may give us the grace to accept our positions without murmuring, without backtalk, even if circumstances make it very difficult. Oh, Father, we pray you grant that we may always and everywhere live before your face, in your presence, and in the consciousness of our calling to be your servants. In this petition, beloved, we ask for the grace to carry out our own particular calling in complete subjection to the revealed will of God. Yes, even if it means time and again to deny our own will. We are to live as obedient servants of God, even if it means little or no honor for ourselves. And the more we pursue the mind of Christ, beloved, the more we realize that we do not work for ourselves, that we are not self-employed. Do not in the first place work for others, but we work for the Lord our God. He is our great employer. And what we do for ourselves, for our family, our relatives, for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we do for the Lord our God. Well, beloved, that frame of mind enables us to go on serving one another. At times we are ready to give up. What we do seems to go unappreciated. Quite often it seems that if we pursue a thankless job. Still, we are not to give up, for the Lord has called us. He has given us the talents and the gifts to be used in order to work for him, to show our love to him. We have every reason to show our love to him, for thanks to the Lord, we have a life that never ends and a life that will be perfect in every way. And so we have to realize today our sacred calling and therefore are always ready to work for others, for our neighbor, for our brothers and sister, showing as much love for him as we show for ourselves. In short, we will consecrate ourselves with all the powers and possessions that we have received to the God of our salvation. And we will walk as children of light in the midst of this world full of darkness, forever confessing the name of the Lord Jesus, the only Savior, the Savior of the world, forever glorifying our Father who is in heaven. And it means then also that we will fight against sin. It means that we will forsake all that is secular, worldly, all that is colorless, all that is meaningless, all that denies Christ, our Lord, as the Lord of lords and King of kings. It means that we will be active in all good works, day after day, whenever and wherever. Works prepared by our God so that we would walk in them. So our prayer is then that we here on earth may carry out the will of God as faithfully and perfectly as the inhabitants do in heaven. The Lord directs our eyes to heaven, where Christ is the perfect servant of the Lord, where the saints have gone to, the saints who are now delivered from sin and corruption, And in heaven are also the angels, who are ever ready to do the Lord's bidding. We pray that we may carry out the will of God as cheerfully and as perfectly as they do. We pray, our Father in heaven, teach us to know your will, to know and from the heart that we do your will. Yes, O Lord, increase our longing to do your will perfectly. Please let it really bother us if it is otherwise. Do not let us take life easy, but let us deliberately, consciously do your will in all the things that we are called to do, be it great or small. Now, beloved of the Lord, this third petition presupposes that in our hearts we long to do the will of God perfectly. We certainly cannot love sin and deliberately walk in it. We cannot cherish, we cannot hide any particular sin and still pray then this petition, for it would surely make us hypocrites. Oh, it is true that in this life we are still far from perfect. We have indeed only a small beginning of the new obedience. Nevertheless, beloved, the praying of this petition implies that we take issue with our own sin and that we strive hard to put our own evil nature to rest. That surely is our spiritual attitude, is it not? Spiritual attitude found with only those who pray this particular petition. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mind you, this spiritual attitude can only be maintained if we at the same time realize our need for the grace of God. Without that grace, we can do nothing. This petition then also presupposes a longing in our hearts for the grace of the Holy Spirit. We pray that God may work within us to will and to work for his good pleasure. And finally, this prayer expresses the longing for the moment of perfection to the day of our Savior's return. In the final analysis, this petition reaches forward to the consummation, to the completion of all things, to the perfect life that we will have in that New Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem that speaks of, we learn about in Revelation 21. We look forward to that completion of all things, new heavens and a new earth. How glorious that will be. To the time and perfect obedience will be a matter of course. The prayer that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven certainly implies that. We cannot but look forward to that perfect state where everyone without exception carries out his office and calling in complete devotion to the Lord God, to the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, beloved, how will that life in the future be? You understand, of course, that also in that new creation, each one of us will have so his own station and calling. We are not going to just sit down and laze around on the bank of the river of life, so to speak. On the contrary, the perfect life will be full of activity and work. Only then there will be no more toil, no more slaving away for a living or for lucrative gain. All our work will then be truly in the service of God, fully and consciously. Now, beloved, do you begin to long for that already? For look how it is now. Even our best works leave something to be desired. And how often are we engaged in what we might call our best works? So oftentimes, we just work for ourselves, pursue our own will, do what turns us on. And then there is that world that we live in, a world that does not care at all about the will of God. A world full of unrighteousness, of wickedness, a world in which we find it increasingly difficult to do the will of our Heavenly Father. So, beloved of the Lord, let us then keep on praying this petition. Let us keep asking for the grace of God. Let us keep looking to heaven, where the will of our Heavenly Father is the delight of them all. Let us long for the time when all life and all the new creation will be like that as it is in heaven now. Yes, let us ever bow before him and pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, grant to me, grant to us all. But we need a new creation. Grant to all your people your spirit, your grace, so that we may more and more know and do your will. And Lord, let the day of your Son come with haste, so that the wickedness may forever cease, and we may live in perfect harmony with your will, which alone is good. Yes, your will be done. Amen.